I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your favorite source for the information and inspiration you know you need to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 253. Yes, I took a little
liberty.
Yeah, a little liberty.
Or license.
Yeah.
Yeah, you threw in a few extra adjectives there. That was smooth.
I thought so.
I'm reading the words. I'm hearing these other words.
Brian, you just gave it away that we read from a script sometimes.
Oh, that's right. I'm not supposed to do that, am I?
It's like, as people don't know.
Well, especially when they hear me.
I love freeform podcasts, but I don't like it for what we do. I love to have some structure because then it keeps us on task.
Agreed.
I think that's important.
I think our listeners appreciate us staying on task.
I can hear them out there going, get to the point, Griff. Get to the point.
Okay. Who is our guest this week, Griff?
I thought you'd never ask, Brian. Our guest is eBay Head of Partnerships and eBay Ads. His name is Jacob Hunter, and he's going to join us. And we'll be sharing home and garden trends and back-to-school forecasting that his team has put together based on the extensive buyer research and surveying they do as part of their job.
Oh, that's great. I'm a fan of Jacob's.
You're a fan of everyone. Is there anyone you're not a fan of?
I'm trying to think. Normally, they bring information and I get educated and learn something new about the business. And then they're always generally nice people.
Yeah, and lots of fun.
Agreed.
And as someone who we know and love once said, if it ain't fun, we ain't doing it. And that's been kind of like a private model for me for most of my life. So if I'm not having fun, why am I doing this? What's the point? You get one life and then it's over. You might as well spend that time in your short little existence having the best time you can have. And I pinch myself every week because I think, look at us. We get paid to do the podcast. That's amazing.
It is.
Well, you do so much more than me. You do lots more than just the podcast.
Well, seller meetings and the community and the mentor program. There are a few things.
Yeah. And because you come into the office still, you're getting tapped and pulled left and right by everyone in the building asking your opinion and getting your take on stuff.
Yes. Partly because I've been here so long, they assume that I'll know some secret magic bullet answer. And what we've learned over the years is there's rarely a secret magic bullet answer at eBay. There's just oftentimes a lot of like hard effort.
Yeah, you have to put in the work and things change. So what you thought might have been true 10 years ago isn't true today and probably isn't good advice to give.
Exactly.
I can say safely the reason why the two of us are still here, besides the fact that there's really nice people and the work is exciting and we get paid money to do what we enjoy, is that it's never boring. And there's always challenges and there's always things coming up. For example, Brian, what's in the news this week?
The big news this week was the dreaded UPS strike was averted. Thank goodness. As reported by the Associated Press, UPS reached a tentative contract with its 340,000 person union, potentially averting a strike that threatened to disrupt packaging deliveries for millions of businesses and households nationwide. The agreement was announced Tuesday, so that was last week, the first day that UPS and the Teamsters returned to the table after contentious negotiations broke down earlier this month. Negotiators had already reached tentative agreements on several issues, but continued to clash over pay for part-time workers, who make up more than half of the UPS employees represented by the union. The Teamsters hailed the agreement.
Yeah, I had a feeling, given all that was at stake, that the parties would hammer out an agreement before a work stoppage actually started. And of course, it goes without saying, this is really great news for eBay sellers and buyers.
It is. And Griff? To add to the news this week,
okay,
I want to talk about a tool that an eBay member recently launched.
Intriguing. Go on.
So if you're a seller and you need to archive, review, or revise your eBay shipping services and costs, this new third-party tool might be exactly what you need. This tool can speed that process by creating a spreadsheet of data across all of your items or across specific categories. You can then extract your eBay item shipping options in bulk with a free online scanning tool created by a longtime eBay member, ShipScript, who's also a programmer. The tool will retrieve and scan up to 8,000 items, approximately 400 items per minute.
Yikes.
Users can also use the search criteria filters built into this tool to reduce the search range if you have more than 8,000 items, thus creating subgroupings based on category, price, or date order. The scanner should be able to retrieve up to 8,000 items within a couple of minutes.
Where can we find this?
We will post a link to the tool in the transcript. I won't read out the shipping scanner.htm.
It's a long URL.
It's a long URL. Over the years, SHIP has built a number of tools for sellers to help make their and run their businesses more efficiently. And this one should help sellers who are thinking about or needing to migrate to some of their listings to the new Ground Advantage and First Class services.
And we'll put the link in the transcript. Now, by the time you hear this, there may actually be a navigation from Scripps main page, which is isdntech.com. That's isdntech.com. If so, great. Right now, I think that it's still under development, but we'll put the link that goes directly to the tool, the bulk shipping scanner tool, right in the transcript.
Yes. And then another piece, which kind of speaks to the power of community. I also want to promote three incredible helpful tutorials on eBay community that were posted by eBay seller Wasting Time 101 and provide some great calls to action for sellers needing to adjust shipping policies. They are titled Update to USPS Ground Advantage with the Bulk Edit Tool, Setting Up Business Policies Update to USPS Ground Advantage, and USPS to Replace First Class Package Retail Ground Parcel Select with Ground Advantage Summer, which shows the rate tables for Ground Advantage.
Yeah, I did a little scan of these pages before we went on, and there's tons of great information there.
There really is. Both SHIP and Wasting Time are excellent, wonderful, giving community members.
And given the user ID Wasting Time 101, I'm assuming that that member might have some tips on how to waste time.
Possibly. But a very helpful member in the community. If you ever get your question answered in the community by either SHIP or Wasting Time and many of the other eBay mentors and others that are in our community, they're always spot on, and especially these two.
They have a place in my heart, and you know why.
Yes.
This is how I got my start, by providing advice on that little community board
That
started in 1996 on AuctionWeb. And it's great to see that given a quarter of a century later, there are still people that are providing the same sort of service, and they don't really get paid for it. So kudos to both of them. And like you said, to all the people who provide advice gratis during their time in the eBay community.
Yeah, if you're a newer seller on eBay and you need information, come out to community.ebay.com. And if you're an experienced one and you've got some free time, you know, pop out. Maybe you can answer a question for someone who's getting started.
You'll feel good about it too once you've done it.
You will.
And I have to repeat, before we talk to Jacob, our guest this week, we will put all of the links to the pages we just talked about and SHIP's tool in the summary overview for this episode, episode 253. The summer shopping season is in full swing, and the fall / back to school season has already begun. If you're like most eBay sellers running their business on the eBay marketplace, you want to know what's trending when it comes to buyer behavior now and for the rest of the year, leading into the holiday shopping season, of course, which, by the way, as of this moment, is only 3 months away. I know it's hard to believe, given the heat wave we're all in, depending where you are in the country. But those sleigh bells are about to start ringing, and we want to understand how buyers are going to behave this season. And joining us now to help us better understand the current and predicted buying trends on eBay is Head of Partnerships for eBay Ads, Jacob Hunter. Welcome, Jacob.
Well, thank you, Griff. Excited to be here.
We've had a few people on in the last 6 months from the ads team, and the reason isn't because the ad team wants to promote the ads team. Of course, it's a good thing to do, but we constantly get requests for this information from our audience. Sellers need to know this. They want to know what's available, both when it comes to resources, which I think we'll talk about in a minute, and also what you folks in the ads team are seeing when it comes to particular categories, the shopping trends that you saw last year that impact what's happening this year. It's been a really chaotic few years post-pandemic. What's up with the ads team?
Yeah, no, great question. Really, one of the big things, like you said, it's not just the resources that we want to provide and the advertising tools, which we'll talk about a bit. We want to make sure that our sellers are understanding what the buyers are doing and thinking and what their intentions are. So one of the big things we do is we actually go and we survey our buyers. And we wanted to talk a little bit about some home and garden studies that we've recently done with about 2,000 consumers. And we found some really interesting things. eBay actually in this survey was ranked in the top 5 marketplaces for what people are looking for their outdoor supplies. That means there's a really exciting opportunity for sellers that have this inventory to be listing within that home and garden category.
enlisting it right now, not putting it off.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's really important that, you know, not only obviously are we in the thick of summer now, but it's important to get ahead of these moments. And that's why we want to bring these insights to you to make sure that you know, hey, this is coming. This is things that we're seeing historically, and really give you that impact and ideas to push forward.
It's been hot here. It's been hot in all of the West. It's hot in Utah, where you're based.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you know, with how hot it's been here, I feel like summer is going to go on until, you know, well into the fall at this point with how warm it's being.
And when you think about it, it's actually important for sellers to figure out these weather predictions so they can better predict what they should be putting up in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
You've done a survey. What are the highlights from the survey before we get into all the details?
Let me give a couple of highlights just from some of the things that we found. People are focusing on outdoor. What we were shocked to see, the people are going online, and over half of our respondents said they're going to be searching for things like turf, grass, plants, bulbs, seeds, all of these, you know, items that you kind of think, oh, I'm going to a department store for. They're looking online for these things. You know, sure. They're getting more and more accustomed to shopping online on places like eBay. And so it's just exciting to see those categories. In home decor as well for outdoor, you saw over just about half of the people said they were looking for things like lanterns, ornaments, candles, chimes, all these kind of things. And it's not just the small things. You know, a third of the respondents even said they're looking for fire pits, hammocks, patios, all of these really big things. And then one of the biggest highlights we saw was in swimming pools. I mean, I don't know if you've seen, but it's been a big rise in people going out and getting swimming pools recently. And one of the interesting things that we learned from this is that we see a larger influx of sales happening prior to the peak moment. So in other words, people shopping in that late spring, early summer, not shopping actually in that middle of summer. And we saw about 7% more were going in late spring as opposed to summer, even though you think of it as a summer activity. And then we saw the same thing with inflatable pools and swimming suits and all of these things. So people are kind of jumping ahead and making their purchases. And so it's important for sellers to do the same idea. Let's get those listings up before, so that way we're ready when the people are actively buying.
I want to repeat what you said in the beginning. This was a survey of 2,000 U.S. consumers. And when they gave you this information, they were talking about buying these objects and items, but they were doing it online, not going to the garden center, not going to the furniture store. They want the convenience of finding and paying and buying these things and having them shipped online.
Yeah, I think it's just more and more of the norm, right? I mean, obviously the crazy last couple of years that we've had has kind of trained us that there really is going to be that benefit or that opportunity to search and find exactly what I'm looking for online and then take advantage of it. And we just see that while maybe not at the same levels when we were all locked inside, we're certainly seeing people are, they've been trained and they know how to do it now and they're continuing.
Surveys on buying behavior tend to look at things like generational differences, for example, in purchasing behavior. I'm assuming you found some of this. Can you speak to some of the findings?
Yeah, no, we do that in order to really kind of cross-section and understand what's happening, because we want to know not only what's happening in a general sense, but what are the different generations thinking of online? What are they thinking of eBay? What are they thinking about their buying habits? And it was very interesting to see that about 3/4 of everyone said that they were planning on going on and buying when buying on eBay. So it's not just a, hey, I'm going on eBay to shop, I'm going on to buy. And then we found what was so interesting was what these different generational groups were saying back about promoted items. Because there's a mixed feeling when you go and you're searching for an item and you see that sponsored tag. We see it all over on the internet. And it's interesting to see what actually generational groups said. We saw that millennials, for example, over half of them reported that they would be purchasing a promoted or sponsored item. This actually tied with the millennials and the 35 to 45-year-old group who said the same thing. And what was interesting is that it wasn't just these groups. We saw Gen Z saying the same thing. Over 43% of them said that they were planning on likely buying a sponsored item. So I want to clarify, this doesn't mean we ask them, hey, are you willing to buy a promoted item or a sponsored item, or would you be open to it? It said that they were likely planning on buying it. And that's because we're getting trained that these sponsored items are smart. We're showing the right items that people are interested in shopping for. And so they're clicking on it and purchasing. And so it's just interesting to see that paradigm that people are actually planning on going and buying sponsored items because they know it's curated content for them.
Yeah. And it's important for any seller to keep in mind, you know, if you've been selling on eBay and you're paying attention to what we do internally at the company for the marketplace, that we focus a lot on garnering more millennials, more Gen Z. We got a lot of baby boomers and we're not ignoring them, but these are people who grew up buying online. For people my age, it was a change in behavior that happened starting 20 years ago or so that we started shopping online. These people don't know anything outside of the internet. They're used to buying online. So it's important understanding their motivations and their plans.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, these groups are growing in their buying power, right? We know that, you know, to your point, we've got a great range of different buyers that we have on the site, and we're catering everything we can to all the groups. But these groups are getting stronger. And the stronger that they get, the more we want to make sure that eBay is a place that they want to shop. And it's a place that they're going to take advantage of the great inventory that all of the sellers that are listening are bringing in.
I know we talk a lot about different ways to enhance listings. We actually had one or two segments so far this year on listing quality. I assume, again, hopefully, rightfully so, when you're asking buyers about something like the quality of listings, was there anything that popped up in the survey that would be of interest to an eBay seller?
What's probably not surprising to your listeners, as you said, you talked about it in the past, is that we asked them, what are the main factors that you're thinking of when you're going to be making a purchase? And frankly, it's going to line up directly with a lot of the best practices that you've heard in the podcast before. The biggest one that we saw, over 55%, said their biggest factor is free shipping being offered. And I know that, you know, that's obviously polarizing opinion sometimes around it, but it's truly what people are looking for. You know, they're just expecting it. So it's important to see that. Next up, they're looking for deals. They're looking for coupons. Those are actually both tied at second place. Over half said that that's going to be a major factor for them. Am I getting a good deal? Can I utilize a coupon of some sort? We have all these different coupon tools we've been rolling out and all these different things. It gets me excited. The product is lining up to what people are saying.
Yeah.
And then finally, our third thing that was marked is they're looking for unique items, something that's really important for a lot of these generational groups. So they want something unique. They don't just want a cookie cutter. That to me gives me a really exciting benefit for a lot of our sellers that are bringing in that unique inventory. I'll call out what was really interesting was that the groups that cared the most about free shipping was our younger millennials, as well as that baby boomer group. Over 60% of them said that was going to be a major deciding factor, whether or not to get that that's available to them.
Yeah, as a spokesperson for the baby boomer group. Yeah, I know it is important. Hey, let's quickly pivot to back to school shopping now. Your team dug into last year, 2022 trends to help sellers prep for the 2023 season. What are some of the trends you uncovered?
Yeah, well, it's no surprise that there's a couple of different major categories that really do see the big boost during back to school. One of them being fashion. Obviously, you know, when people are out there shopping, you're looking for the newer looks for the new year, as well as things like your supplies, like backpacks, etc. We actually saw that 25% of all the backpacks and bags that are sold on eBay during the year happens during that back to school season. The other school supplies sees a big growth as well, hitting around 125% of normal sales rolling into the start of the school year. And so it's that time right before school starts that we're really seeing the, you know, big push in that area.
I've just moved and I have several plastic containers filled with backpacks and bags that I purchased over the last 20 years that I'm never going to use. Some of them are really good. I got to get those listed.
Yeah, absolutely. We're heading right into that time. And so now's a perfect time to list it, obviously. And to your point, I think it's one of those recurring items that kids' interests will change. You know, they may have a themed item that they absolutely love the 1 year, and now it's not cool anymore, in quotation marks, as my kids always keep telling me, to have what they used to love. And so I feel like I'm constantly trying to keep up with the trends, and I need to have the backpack to match. And so I hear you. I feel like it's an ever-growing collection in my own personal home as well.
What about consumer electronics? I just got through talking to a seller about this, and they were concerned about what the trends were showing for this year.
Last year, we saw actually a very large increase of the searches as well as purchases during back-to-school season in consumer electronics. School's getting a lot smarter. I definitely didn't have a laptop when I was sitting in school, but PC laptops and notebooks actually saw about a 25% lift in sales during that back to school season. And we saw that when we were looking at what's the top categories, what's being looked at on eBay during back to school, inside of the top 10 categories, were actually cell phones, smartphones, headphones, those consumer electronic items that kids are planning on using in school as it gets smarter and smarter. And so that's definitely something to keep an eye on as well.
Duly noted. There's a topic that comes up all the time in our questions, and it's about advertising, specifically about the advertising tools that we provide for sellers, Promoted Listing Standard and Advanced. And they always want to know, how do I use these effectively? And I'm hoping maybe you have some tips you can share for sellers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, advertising solutions, like we have Promoted Listing Standard, which is on a cost per sale model, or Advanced product that's utilizing cost per click model, are both really valuable in helping boost your visibility. I mean, one of the biggest rules that I always talk to people about in e-commerce is that you need to be seen in order to be sold.
Yeah.
And advertising is designed to help you with that. And so I want to talk a little bit about our Promoted Listing Advanced option, which is our cost per click model.
Yeah, we don't really cover that one very much, so this will be interesting. Go on.
It's been, you know, a newer product, obviously, within the portfolio, and it gives sellers a leg up, especially in these seasonal opportunities. An amazing stat that the team brought to me that I couldn't believe, but I see it in the data, is that sellers actually see a 50% more sales if they're utilizing Promoted Listings Advanced versus not promoting anything at all.
Wow.
One of the biggest things to your point is I get the question of, how do I use these? When do I use what? And with every seller's goals or and situation is a little bit different. I want to give a couple ideas as to when to use specifically this Promoted Listing Advanced tool. And so let me give you three. One is that you need to give your listings an additional push. You feel, hey, the amount of impressions and traffic they're seeing is just not enough to get the velocity I want. I want that boost. Second, you want to have the exact control. Promoted Listing Standard is great at being able to showcase you all across the board in several locations on the site. But you want to say, I want to appear near the top of search. I want to have daily budgets, and I want to decide myself what keywords you appear for. That's the real benefits of Promoted Listings Advanced, is it gives you that control of being able to decide those different pieces.
Mm.
And third, it helps you drive visibility for your new listings or items that you really want to get into these premium places. Apart from when do I want to use this product, the next question that comes up for me is how to use it. I mean, it's just a little bit of a more complex product since you have the ability to set keywords, set specific bids, set daily budgets. So I can understand that sometimes people may look and be a little confused, but I want sellers to know that you don't have to go at this alone. eBay understands, and eBay Ads team has built out tools and resources to make sure that this product is simpler for you if you do need that help.
Yeah, as we do in every episode where we have links to pages, and I know there's several links to pages and tutorials and FAQs when it comes to both of the promoted listing tools, be that Standard or Advanced, we'll put those in the episode transcript so you can easily find them. And finally, Jacob, our sellers love tip lists, and I'm hoping you have a tip list that sellers can use for takeaway.
Let me give some tips that I have around these advanced campaigns. Like I said, it might be a little simpler for you. A, utilize our suggested bids and our keywords. eBay has an algorithm that looks at the listings and figures out what you should be promoting and recommends the bids and keywords against those items. Mm-hmm. It helps take the guesswork out when you're looking at just my whole catalog. What do I do? What do I go after? The second one would be to group together your similar items into a campaign and allow that targeting to go against the same keywords. So this means that you don't have to create so many campaigns. I get people to get nervous and say, I need to create a campaign for X, Y, Z, A, B, C. But instead, if they're all in the similar category and those same keywords would benefit, let's put them together. Let's let you use the effort that you've made on the first item, apply across items when you have similar items there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Next, I would say a big thing to focus on with ads and think about is to maintain great listings, have a high listing quality. One of the things that I think is a misnomer that people think, oh, if I have just an okay listing, or maybe it's kind of competitive, or it's, you know, okay, I guess, but not really that great, I'm just going to turn on ads to be a Band-Aid, and it will fix it so I don't need to go fix my listings. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Ads will help with the impressions, but it's going to be having that great listing that's going to drive to the actual conversion. Really make sure that you follow all the amazing tips you see here and across eBay to really make sure they have great listings on the site to advertise the right way. We want the good things to be advertised
That is a particular tip that we talk about here a lot on the podcast, specifically when it comes to competition, by the way. I love the way you put it. It's not going to be a band-aid to fix low listing quality, and it's definitely not going to help if your listing price is not competitive to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. The next item that I would put down as a tip is that to set up continuous end dates on your campaigns. What that means is that you can set up a date that you want your campaign to end. I want to try ads for a month. I want to try it for 2 months. Or you can set it down as continuous. I just want this to continue running. And then you could come in and still change it or turn it off or pause it whenever you want. But what this does is sometimes we set a great campaign up, set it up for a month, and then a month later, we kind of forgot about it. And we're wondering, wait a minute, what happened to my conversion? What happened to my impressions? And it's because we had that end date. If we set continuous dates, that just means it's going to keep working for you as long as you want it to. And so it's a great way to not force yourself to come back in, restart, redo campaigns. Just let it run when you want it to and just jump in and make the adjustments when you need to. And then finally, like, we should leverage all of our different available keyword match types. What I mean is that many people run exact match. I type that item in on a search. It's exactly matching what I put, and our advertising pops up. But we also have other keyword match types like phrase match and broad match. Phrase match allows the ads to appear if it includes your exact words and other words inside of that search. A broad match even goes even broader and gives you the maximum amount of impressions and awareness, which gives you a lot of different opportunities to, if you're saying, I really need a lot of exposure here, let's set it to broad. If I want some more strategic pinpointed, you can set phrase and exact. So utilize all of the different types of matches when it comes to keywords instead of just going with the default on exact.
Now, we talked about resources before, and I'm hoping that you can name a few. Again, we will put the links to these in the summary overview for this episode.
Yeah, definitely. In particular, if you want to go and see some of these different surveys and the full readouts against them, you can head to ebayads.com and look at our blog section that has all of these different pieces. As well as you can go, while on your eBay account, you can go to our Ads Academy, which is located whenever you're inside any of the different products and ads. You can click on the little question marks. It'll pop you over to some training and educational material about them. We continue to bring in more and more insights for sellers. And in fact, like, the team is speaking of, you know, holiday coming right around the corner. We're actually working on getting some of our holiday resources and studies out in late August. And so stay tuned, because we want to make sure to give you all the insights we can.
So it's coming up. It's actually just a couple of weeks away. So you want to stay tuned for that as well. Jacob, let's go through, before we end, the tips that you just gave. One, you suggested bids and keywords. Two, always group similar type listings into a single campaign.
Yes.
And my favorite, maintain high listing quality. And believe me, it's photos, description, everything, including price. Consider continuous campaign end dates versus fixed. That way you don't have to keep starting and redoing them. And finally, correct, leverage all the available keyword match types for the particular tool you're using. And that can be phrase match and broad match, both of which can increase the likelihood of your item getting in front of buyers.
Exactly.
Jacob, I want to thank you so much. This has been fantastic.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Jacob Hunter is the head of partnerships for eBay Ads. We've been talking about the trends that his team has discovered. We'll put the link to the blog so that you can find information there, as well as, and I know I've said this a number of times, don't worry, we'll put all of this information both in our episode links, and you can always go back to the transcript to read the exact text so that you can make a list of tips yourself.
You got questions?
We got answers. And as promised last week, Brian, and the week before that, in fact, we have a new correction to issue. So let's just get this one out of the way right at the top with another edition of
We Stand Corrected.
Brian, would you do the honors?
Of course. The original email was sent by longtime listener David, who wrote, Griff, on episode 245, a seller asked about shipping stamps to Canada inexpensively. Your suggestion was to use eBay International Shipping.
It was.
As I read the rules, however, stamps are excluded from the program. I enjoy the podcast. Keep up the great work, David, DLT Coins.
Yes, I remember that, to which I blithely responded, hello, David, thanks. USPS first class envelope is not accepted for eBay International Shipping. but the eBay standard envelope is accepted, regards grips. So it didn't even address the question.
And that is technically correct, but...
But indeed.
So then, David wrote back the following response to your response. Griff, I think you missed my point. The seller was asking for an alternative to high USPS rates for shipping collectible postage stamps to Canada. You suggested eBay's international shipping program, but stamps, as a product class, are excluded from the program. Sincerely, David. I want to point out one thing.
Yeah.
David was very nice in the first one. He said, keep up the great work. By the second one, he dropped that part.
And rightfully so, because as we know, David is right. I totally missed his point. Stamps are not eligible for the eBay International Shipping Program, so it has nothing to do with the eBay standard envelope. And in fact, stamps will not display as options for purchase to international buyers, including those in Canada. The seller's only option, as David has so clearly pointed out, if only I had been paying more attention, I would have seen it right off, is to ship stamps using his own international shipping. And for that, the cheapest but not trackable option is going to be a stamped envelope. So yeah, this is a conundrum for sellers, and there's no way to address it right now. My apologies. Well, I mean, you can ship them priority international, but that's really expensive. I mean, you're selling stamps, you may be pricing them out of the market, you know, so that's... Anyway, my apologies to David and to the entire world for not catching David's point right off, which was so clear and so obvious what he was talking about. There it goes. I stand corrected. Thank you, David. Let's hope we don't have to do another one of those. And if we do, it will be my own fault.
It's not always your fault. I made a mistake once a while back that I was called out for.
What was that mistake?
When we were talking, I think it was about, I forget exactly what the topic was, but we were doing some conversion and I said immediately. And it was not immediately. It actually, there was a period of time. It was daily. It was with promoted listings. Like, how often does it get adjusted? And when we were talking, I made a comment, you know, just during conversation. And I said, oh, it gets updated immediately. And trust me, on the discussion boards in the community, I was called out.
They dragged you across the coals, Brian.
Rightfully so.
You may notice that we actually get a lot of, we get a lot of content out of self-deprecation. I don't mind. I want to make sure we're providing good information. But if the opportunity presents itself for me to writhe at our listeners' feet in a frenzy of self-abasement because I made a wrong statement, I'm going to jump right in and do it because I like self-deprecation. I don't think there's enough of it.
And I also like correcting errors.
Yeah, that's what we did. Anywho, our next email comes from seller Bob, who writes, and I got to read this carefully, Griff and Brian, I have a question regarding the ship cover insurance used with priority mail USPS coverage provided with eBay labels. So he's talking about using both together. Recently, says Bob, I had an item that sold for $1,080. The shipping service used was priority mail using eBay labels. As you know, some or all of eBay accounts have $100 of coverage with USPS. That's true. I also purchased ship cover with a maximum limit of $1,000. My question. In the event of a total loss, ship cover would pay the $1,000, but would USPS cover the additional $80? I figured if USPS did not, I can self-insure the $80, but wondered how that would work. Also, let's say you have a $500 item and you insure with ship cover for $400, would USPS pick up that last $100 on a total loss? Thanks, Bob.
This is a really good question.
I didn't want to second guess so that we'd have to then issue another I stand corrected. So I went directly to the source. I went and talked to our team member, Deb, and she explained to me that, yeah, the answer is yes. So let's talk about this a little bit.
Well, as you know, ship cover and USPS are two separate businesses and their shipment insurances are not contingent on each other.
That's right.
So Bob, using as examples, the item that sold for $1,080, which first off, I got to say congratulations on that sale. That's a great sale. Where you purchased $1,000 worth of coverage from ShipCover. In the case of total loss, you asked if you could recoup up to $100 from USPS in addition to the $1,000 from ShipCover.
And that answer is yes, because ShipCover will pay the $1,000 and USPS should pay up to the $100 that they claim they'll provide, assuming all claim conditions are valid, of course.
That's right. And the same for the hypothetical item you sold for $500. You could purchase $400 ship cover insurance, and in case of total loss, you can recoup a total $500 by filing a claim with USPS for $100 and ship cover for $400.
And I see where he's going with this. So he doesn't pay as much because that USPS insurance is free. So he's getting up to $100 free. So he doesn't have to pay ship cover for the five. He could just take out $500 with ship cover. It's a little cheaper. But Bob, even though you can file claims for both ship cover and USPS coverage, keep in mind that most sellers in this situation, they opt to use ship cover for the full amount because it's faster and more efficient. And sellers feel it's not usually worth the hassle to file for the USPS coverage. According to the anecdotal evidence that I hear from sellers, it's a lot easier to get a premium paid from ship cover than it is from USPS.
Makes sense. And finally, our third email drags up an old podcast controversy regarding a certain word that drives Griff nuts.
Oh no, we're not going there, are we?
The seller, Andres, sent the following to podcast@ebay.com. Hi guys, I stopped selling on eBay and listening to your shows shortly after Lee's retirement and just recently started back again. I came back to Griff's beef with the use of the word vintage. Will you please elaborate for those of us who missed your explanation? By the way, my eBay and Instagram username is VintageFunForYou.
Oh dear.
Thanks for your show. In case you want to send me cool swag or some money, my address is below.
Money.
No money. Best wishes, Andres. Well, welcome back to eBay, Andres. Things are a little different around here, but I'm sure you've noticed. We usually don't poke the bear on this topic, but hey, maybe the bear needs a little poke now and then. Or maybe he's become vintage.
Oh, Andres, Andres, Andres. I've not mentioned my issue with the term vintage recently on the podcast because, well, really, who wants to beat that dead horse?
Or old bear.
Yeah, or old bear. But since you brought it up, I'll take it as an opportunity to make my final statement on the podcast about the word vintage. So gird your loins. My beef with the word vintage is that unless it's paired with a year or a period of time, for example, you can say vintage 1955 radio or a vintage 1950s dress
or mid-century modern.
Well, that's not vintage. That's just another word. That's another phrase. Yeah.
But it's like an era.
It's an era. You know, if you don't do that, it really doesn't mean anything specific. The history of the word comes from the wine industry, and it was always paired with a year. You'd say, like, this wine is vintage 1901. Now, it means what anyone says it means. Say, some will say it's anything 10 years old. Some say it's 25 years old. Others say it means anything that's no longer being made or in production. It's become kind of a baggage word. And if you don't believe it, go and ask a few sellers to define what it means. What does vintage mean? And you'll get several contradictory definitions. That's my big beef. As for a keyword on eBay, go do this. Search on vintage and then select best match and you'll return 18 million plus results. Yeah. In brief, my beef is that vintage lacks precision. It's vague and it's overused with no consensus on what it actually indicates about item age. And thus, for me at least, it's pretty useless. Now, that being said, that's my beef. I have to say, when it comes to this battle, I've surrendered. 18 million listings on eBay, I'm outnumbered. And I threw in the towel when my own beloved employer actually had the chutzpah to add vintage subcategories to several collectible categories and even some clothing, shoes, and accessories categories like women's vintage dresses. And I gave up. I raised the white flag and I said, have at it. Use vintage. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I'm giving up.
I do wish someone would come up with a definition. Like with classic cars, there's a definition in the state of California. A classic car is any car that's greater than 25 years old.
Yeah, and that's actually standard across the country. Once a car is 25 years old, you can call it classic.
Yeah, so I wish someone would do the same with vintage, and then you could rest in peace.
I'm not dead yet. What do you mean, rest in peace?
Okay, you could not stress about the use of vintage on the platform.
So I don't stress anymore. I have found my inner peace. I have made my surrender decision, and I'm at peace itself. I am centered, and all's right with the world.
So the upshot for Andres, if you want to use the word vintage,
even if it's totally worthless string of seven letters,
knock yourself out. And if you want to help poke the old bear or the vintage man with a provocative question, why not call in your poke at 888-723-4630?
That's 888-723-4630. You can call that poke line any time of the day, any day of the week. leave your poke or question or comment. And if I'm in the mood, we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for your 3-point podcast checklist before we sign off.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
And check out the cool scanning tool that our friend ShipScript created to help you organize and edit your shipping policies, as well as other things about your listings for the new USPS Ground Advantage service.
Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And on our next episode, we'll finally talk about how eBay rolls out new features and services. You won't want to miss it.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Jacob Hunter.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.